Okay, we will get started.
Well, our class for the new year is How to Remain Godly in an Ungodly World, with the subtitle How to Survive Election Year in America. Our theme scripture for this class, as we talked about last week, is John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And remaining focused on the gospel, on God's love, on Jesus' sacrifice, on the eternal life that we have, that's how we can remain anchored when the world is going crazy around us. Amen. So that's how we remain anchored in what God has done for us. And last week, we looked at the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount and how to be a city set on a hill in the light of the world. And I did want to say one thing. I think last week I focused too much on politicians, and that's not what I really meant to focus on. What I really meant to focus on is our whole political culture, just the negativity of our whole political culture. And politicians are part of that. They contribute to that. But it's a broader problem, right? Many people in the public arena contribute to our negative political culture. You know, all kinds of media personalities on the left and on the right, pundits, commentators, bloggers. You know, we could obviously throw out names of people who like to scream and yell on both sides of the political spectrum. That's what I'm talking about, sort of the whole negative, divisive, partisan tone of our political life. And even ordinary folks, you know, on social media, they weigh in and they, you know, they say things in a very partisan, divisive, you know, super opinionated way. And we, as disciples, we can be sucked into that, right? We can be sucked into that. The emotions are real. The issues are real. What's at stake is real. And we can get sucked into that tone, that mood, the emotion that surrounds all of that. And what I wanted us to look at last week and grapple with is to contrast all of that with the Beatitudes, with the kind of heart that Jesus wants us to have, right? To remain centered on that, to be poor in spirit, to be meek, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers, and to have those attitudes when we think about public life, politics, the political world, the issues that are real, but to think about those things in the way Jesus wants us to, and to have the heart when we talk to other people, when we interact with other people, you know, when we make comments on social media, to be like Jesus calls us to be. And then we can be the light of the world. Amen? Amen. So that clarification, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5. And today we're going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount. And what we're going to look at today is how Jesus teaches us to respond to evil people and to enemies. And as I have said before teaching these passages, these are some of the most challenging commands found anywhere in the Bible. They are very hard to put into practice. They're very hard for me to put into practice. And so often we want to water them down or resist them or say, oh, they don't really mean that or they don't really apply. But let's trust God and let's listen carefully what Jesus has to say. Let's trust that he knows what he's talking about and that we can rely on his guidance, even when we apply it to the emotions that are associated with politics and social issues and the kind of things we're looking at in this class. So let's read Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. I give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse to the one who would borrow from you. Okay. Jesus says, do not resist evil people. He quotes the Old Testament principle, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, and that was used in the Jewish judicial system to punish wrongdoers, right? It was to make the punishment fit the crime. That was the principle. And it's natural for us to feel that way in everyday life about people who mistreat us or who threaten to mistreat us, you know, who are, make public speeches in ways that we think might mistreat us. They deserve to be punished, right? They deserve to be opposed, resisted, fought back against. But Jesus says, no. He says, do not resist evil people. That's what he says. This is a very hard teaching. This goes against everything, you know, that we feel. But that's what he says. And he gives four specific examples. He says, people who slap you, people who sue you, people who force you to go a mile, or people to ask for money. And in context here, he's talking about evil people, right? He's talking about people who have evil motives, bad motives, that do these things. And he says plainly not to resist them. And we need to apply these words to the world of politics, okay? So, and I'm going to get real here. So if your inclination is to think that President Trump is evil, then he's the evil person that Jesus is talking about to you here, okay? Or if you're on the other side, and you tend to think that the president's opponents, like Nancy Pelosi or whoever, that those people are evil, you know, and opposing democracy and the duly elected president, then that's who the evil people that you need to think about when we read this passage, okay? And so that's hard to do, you know, that's hard to do. But whoever you think of as evil, that's the people that Jesus is talking to you about in this passage. And some of us may not care about politics, but many of us do, and many of us do passionately. And this year, it's going to be in our face more and more and more in the news because we have a big election coming up. That's important. And so we have to think the way Jesus wants us to think, right? So what does Jesus say to do? He says if someone slaps you, you turn the other cheek. You don't slap them back, right? And I don't think Jesus is talking about, well, let's see. Boom. I already talked about that, and so we're up to slapping. Okay, I don't think Jesus is talking about serious physical assault, you know, serious danger. I think he's talking about people doing things that are insulting, right? And we use the phrase in that metaphorical sense. That's a slap in the face, and we mean an insult, right? And I think that's what Jesus meant. He didn't mean serious physical injury. He's talking about, you know, people slapping you, insulting, demeaning, you know, putting you down, that kind of thing. And that's how we feel sometimes, right? I mean, the president is known to tweet things that many people find offensive, right? It's like a slap in the face. Hey, what did he say? You know, we can react that way. Or, you know, the other side. You know, Nancy Pelosi holds a press conference and says things that if you're a supporter of the president, you might find offensive, right? Or other commentators out there, you know, we could go into Rachel Maddow or Sean Hannity. You know, people say things, and they're you know, almost deliberately trying to be inflammatory in a way that the other side's going to find offensive, right? And that's one way we can apply these scriptures. What does Jesus say to do? Fight back, correct them. No, he says, don't resist. You know, turn the other cheek. Be willing to let it go. You know, Proverbs says it's a glory for a person to overlook an insult. You know, and that's what Jesus is telling us to do. And that's what he said to do in the Beatitudes, right? Merciful, meek, pure in heart, peacemakers. You know, it's hard. What I'm saying is hard. I'm not saying this is easy. But that's what Jesus is saying. That's what he's saying to do if we want to be the light of the world. If we want to be a city set on a hill, if we want to be different than the world around us, then we have to react differently than the way the world does. Comments on this, comments on turning the other cheek in response to political provocation. Yes, sir. Right. That's that. That's what we're raised to do, right? Not to be a doormat. Yes, sir. Ago, human ago, but yes, of course, yeah, right. It's harder. It's all it's around all the time now, right? 24/7. Yes, sir, Danny. Yeah, Alan. Amen, Tracy. Amen. Lots of good biblical example. Harold. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, I need to keep going here. I know we could probably talk all day. Okay. Jesus also says, if someone sues you and wants to take your tunic, offer them your cloak. Now, in Jesus' day, a cloak was far more valuable than a tunic. And so he's saying, if they sue you for $100, give them $1,000, right? If they, you know, that's what he's saying. I mean, and it's like, what? You know, Jesus, are you crazy? You know, and maybe he's exaggerating to get our attention, but his point is clear. You know, the goal is not to fight back. The goal is to find a peaceful settlement, right? The goal is to find some compromise to respond generously. And again, in the context is an evil person here, not just a legitimate dispute, but somebody who's using the court system unfairly against you, right? And we often feel that, you know, and that's, you know, that the court system might be used unfairly against us or stacked against us. The courts make important decisions all the way up to the Supreme Court, makes very important decisions about our culture and our society. And they can affect us negatively. Impeachment is a judicial process, right? And we may feel like it's being used unfairly by one side or the other, depending. But Jesus says not to get sucked into all of that. Not to get sucked into, you know, the litigiousness of our society, right? He says our focus should be peacemaking, just like he said in the Beatitudes. You know, we should be peacemakers. We should find a way to resolve things. You know, if our leaders followed these principles of Jesus, Washington would be a happier place, right? And more problems might get solved. Instead of just yelling and arguing about them, people might actually find a way to sit down and solve them. Now, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 23 for neglecting justice. And I'm not talking about we shouldn't stand up for justice, important matters of justice. And maybe we'll talk about that more in other classes. But I think Jesus' point here is just every dispute, every disagreement, and if we're talking about politics, public policy, everything like that doesn't have to be resolved by, you know, bitterly contested argument, fighting it out to the last inch, right? Everything doesn't have to be resolved that way. Some things might be so important they have to be resolved that way, but not everything. And many things, we should be able to find a way to make peace, right? If we could get, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans to sit down and find some reasonable solution to immigration and health care and, you know, a lot of the issues facing our country, it'd probably be good. And if they came out with something in the middle, it'd probably be a good solution. But it's just hard to do that in our divisive political culture. And that's what Jesus is saying. We don't want to be that kind of person. We don't want to think about public life that way. You know, he also says, if someone forces you to go with him 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, many of us know that Jesus is alluding to the fact that in his day, the Roman Empire had a rule that said you had to help a Roman soldier carry his pack for 1 mile. You know, you're a farmer out there, and the Romans are walking by, and they say, come carry my pack for 1 mile. So you had to do that. That was a rule. And Jesus is saying, well, do it for 2 miles. Now, you know, in context, okay, the Romans were oppressing the Jews. They were an occupying foreign army that had conquered the Jews. And so these were the oppressive government And this was sort of an unfair rule that you actually had to help them out, you know. Roman soldiers also served sort of as policemen, you know, taking care of, opposition to the government of any form. And you had to help them out, and it was kind of it was unfair. So Jesus is talking about unfair things that happen. And he's saying, don't get all bent out of shape about it. Go 2 miles with them. You know, they're requiring you to go where one, and that's kind of unfair. Well, we'll go two. And I think he's we're talking about people taking advantage of us who have power over us. That's what Jesus is talking about. You know, they're making you carry their pack. You know, when people who oppose the president have a slogan. I've seen it on bumper stickers. What is it? Resist. Okay? Resist. Well, I just read a couple of verses earlier. Jesus said what? Do not resist. Right? Do not resist. Even if you think he's evil, he says do not resist. And on the other side, there are people who think the deep state is evil. Right? The deep state is thwarting the legitimately elected president with all kinds of nefarious activities. But again, even if you think they're evil, Jesus says, don't oppose. You know, if they want you to go a mile, go 2 miles. That's what Jesus has said. And Jesus said, you know, this is not an easy teaching. Again, it goes against a lot of our feelings and how we think we should feel about public life. I don't think Jesus is talking about, again, serious injustice. I don't think that's what he's talking about, you know, the serious injustice, although we'll look at other scriptures where Jesus addresses things and how we should respond. But I think Jesus is just talking about the ordinary experience of living every day in an imperfect world where our rulers are imperfect people. I mean, I think that's what he's talking about. And we have to sometimes just go 2 miles when they want us to go one, right? We sometimes just have to do that. And Jesus actually encourages us to do that. It's similar to what he says in the Beatitudes. You know, be righteous, be pure in heart, be merciful. Again, you know, the ordinary Roman soldier didn't make the rules, but he's just taking advantage of them, right? And Jesus is saying, you know, be polite, be nice, you know. They'll be surprised. You know, if they come across a Christian farmer who agrees to carry their pack 2 miles, they'll be like, who is this guy? Everyone else has resented carrying my pack for a mile, you know, and this guy's being nice about it. So, Jesus is, as Todd said earlier, being countercultural. He's challenging us to think the opposite of the way we normally think, and it's hard to do. But comments about these passages, going the second mile or offering them your cloak. And amen. Bill.
So one thing I see in here is a
Christian. Amen. Amen. Peter.
Well, I find these to be really good teachings for everybody else. But my convictions, of course, my convictions are right. There's a really human, and certainly a Peter tendency, I suspect others may do this, to say, I get this, I understand it, and everybody else should really be more patient. As opposed to, how am I trapped in my head, thinking the way I think, right, believing what I believe, and why can't they just see that I'm right? You know?
Right.
And so the hardest thing for me is not to agree with the concepts, but to agree with the concepts in the context of my very personal, immediate belief right now. You are doing me wrong, and my back is hurt.
Yeah.
I am upset right now. And by golly, thank goodness I'm not on most social media, so you don't really never see me there. But, you know, now I'm going to say something because I have to, and I'm right. And you know, but the tendency is to believe that it applies really well to all those calm situations, but when I'm upset, I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the trick.
Yeah, Perry, and then Grub, and then we'll have to move on.
Yeah. I think what I'm really taking out of these passages is that Jesus is saying that what's really important, what we really should be protecting, isn't something that can be taken away, right? And so he's not trying to defend, you know, your right to not go 1 mile. He's not trying to defend your physical person from being insulted. He's trying to win hearts, right? He's trying to build a kingdom. And that kingdom has nothing to do with walking 2 miles or people's insults. Your goal is to change people's minds by affecting their hearts. And doing these things differently is going to be a shock to their system and might shake hearts loose for him.
Amen.
And doing these things means that to do these things, you have to have the perspective that even if I give you this, I'm still as valuable as God says I am. I'm still as whole as God says I am. This doesn't make me any less by going 2 miles or, you know, taking this insult, because, you know, I'm trying to win your heart, right? And what you're taking from me doesn't reduce my value to be able to do that.
Amen.
I'm looking at this like it takes away the power of the aggressors. And it seems like in every situation somebody's trying to force something on you. In our culture, we have a lot of negativity and stuff like that. And Jesus' way, like Harry was saying, is not like our way. It's not like slap the other cheek and defend yourself in that matter. It's a matter of changing the perspective for them. So if somebody's going to force me to go 1 mile with them, they're going to be all, you know, make sure I do it. But if I just give in and say, let me take it 2 miles, and it's like, wow, he's willing to do that and change the whole perspective from their point.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's look at the next set of scriptures, and we'll close out here. Okay. Starting in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? You must therefore be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, talk. Jesus takes it higher. Okay, we just been like, oh my gosh, Jesus, and now he takes it higher. And he says, not only should we not resist the evil people, but we should love them and we should pray for them. And that's like, wait, Jesus, I was having trouble with the previous scripture. Now this one is really takes it out there. You know, he cites the Old Testament law to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, right? No, that's not really in the Old Testament. It does say love your neighbor. I'm not sure the Old Testament ever says hate your enemy. I think maybe that's just how the religious leaders had interpreted some things. But it's a normal way to feel, right? Hating your enemy is a normal way to feel, right? That's my enemy. They're trying to hurt me. They're trying to persecute me, which is what Jesus is talking about. And certainly the government officials in Jesus' day, I mean, they killed him. And then later they would, you know, persecute Paul and the other apostles. Eventually the Roman Empire got in the act, and they persecuted Christians for a couple of centuries, you know. So, you know, the government was the enemy. But he says here, love your enemy, pray for them. And when you do that, you're being like God. You're being like God. And that's amazing. You know, and when we think about the political world, you know, everybody treats the other side as the enemy, right? I mean, the president calls the media the enemy of the people, right? It's like he calls them the enemy. And of course, the many people in the media treat the president like he was a tyrant. So, you know, there's this, you know, they're the enemy, you know, going on. You know, social media is filled with that, right? It's just filled with that, nailing other people as the enemy, you know, the enemy. You know, I like something President Obama said recently. He was, and I won't quote the whole thing, but one thing he said as he was summarizing, he's talking about being too judgmental about people you disagree with. And he said, quote, people who you are fighting may love their kids and share certain things with you. Right? And that's the point we've been making, you know, the people we think of as our enemies, as the evil people on the other side, well, they're still human beings too, you know, and they have families and kids,
And we may actually have things in common if we were willing to stop for a minute and sit down and talk. If we put Jesus' principles into practice, we may even be able to find solutions in the political world. But even separate from that, as Perry talked about, you know, we may be able to win them to Jesus, which is even more important. Because that's what we're building, the kingdom of God, right? We want to be the light of the world, the city set on the hill. We want to draw people to Christ. And as important as many political issues are, that's the transcendent purpose, right? To do God's will, to bring God glory. And we as disciples of Jesus, we can get sucked into this, right? Sort of thinking of other people as enemies. And, we've talked about social media. Even disciples can get going on social media. We can get caught up in the negative emotions, right? Treating people like enemies who must be denounced. But Jesus says we need to be like God, who sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He sends blessings on both kinds of people, right? You need to ask yourself, before you press the post button or the send button or the Twitter, whatever button, I don't know, I don't do that stuff, but I'm just a boomer, and I hope I'm okay. But but in any event, you need to ask yourself, am I being meek in what I'm saying? Am I being merciful? Am I being a peacemaker? Am I being pure in heart? And yes, I'm not saying you don't stand up for something that's important, but you can do that in a way that's reasonable, that's appealing to the other person's better side, right? And even more important than winning a political argument is, helping them find Jesus, right? And that's praying for them, praying for them, even if the, oh my gosh, what did they just say? We need to be praying for them. And I think that's what Jesus means by being perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I mean, obviously, we'd all love to obey every command in the Bible. But I don't think that's what Jesus means right here in context. I think what he means is our love needs to be like God's love. And he loves the just and the unjust. God loves his enemies, right? How many people here used to be enemies of God, right? Okay, God loves his enemies, and he's saying, I want you to do the same thing. I want your love to be like God's love. Amen. I wish I had more time for comments, but we're running out of time. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23. As we close out, let's look at Jesus' example. He was facing horrible injustice when he was crucified. Read verse 32. Start in verse 32. Nope. 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, so Jesus is here praying for his enemies. Praying for the people that crucified him. And he could mean specifically the Roman soldiers there. But he could be more broadly, the Jewish leaders who brought charges against him and persuaded Pilate to have him executed. He's praying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't realize that they are crucifying the Son of God and how horrible that is. And so this is a great example that we have of Jesus who prayed for his enemies. And he was dying on a cross there for them, too. He was loving them. Some of them, would become disciples, right? There was one Roman soldier who said, surely, truly, this was the Son of God after he saw everything that Jesus happened. That film clip that Barrington showed last week, it showed a Roman soldier being in there in the room when the resurrected Jesus appeared to the apostles, right? Nothing in the Bible about that, but I love people being creative about that. Maybe a Roman soldier was there and got to witness the resurrection sitting in the room with them, That would be kind of cool. But Jesus was dying. He was dying for all of us, right? because he loved us. Even people who at the time hated him and were crucifying him, spit on him. You know, the Pharisees were there, making fun of him, mocking him. Jesus died for all of us. He showed love for all of us. And that's what God is calling us to do too. Amen?